Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's Intentional Grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hoge and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
Well, welcome into another edition of Intentional Grounding, episode 51. We are here at AT&T Stadium, the house that Jerry built. Did not go well for the Bears tonight.
It is... Look, there's a lot of garbage being picked up as we do our podcast here overlooking the field here at AT&T Stadium. And the Bears are responsible for a lot of that garbage because this is worse than the Eagles game. I know they got a lot of injuries, but I don't know. Where do you want to begin with this?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to get to. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Plenty of analysis and context there. Read what we're writing right now, in the process of writing right now, post-game at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. Look, I want to start bigger picture, to be honest, before we dive into some of the nuances of this game. But you're 0-3 for the second straight season. This is the first time since 97-98 that the Bears are winless in September. Okay, those were the bad Wani years. But last year, you played the Packers, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. Three very good playoff teams the first 3 weeks. This year, you played three quarterbacks that had a combined 10 starts when you played them. And were basically just as competitive as you were a year ago. Sort of competitive in the first game, not all that competitive in week two, never really had a chance in week three. It's the same exact storyline, but against worse teams. Has this team actually regressed?
I would say they weren't even competitive as opposed to last year. I mean, they were actually in some of those games. Didn't they have the lead in the opener against the Packers last year?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's very similar to what happened against the Texans week one. You had a lead. The better team ended up winning. Week two, they got blown out by the Cardinals. Last week, the score didn't really show a blowout, but the second half, they really weren't all that competitive against the Eagles. And then this week, Cutler out, just like last year against the Seahawks in week three, didn't really ever have a chance.
And if you really want to look at the big picture, everybody looks at the Mark Trestman era as this god-awful atrocity that happened at Halas Hall and Soldier Field. He was 2-1 at this point in 2014, his last year here. They're coming off back-to-back wins on both coasts. Remember, over the 49ers, a dramatic win there, and a dramatic win in New York against the Jets. The positive vibes were at an all-time high in the Trestman era, and you just bring it to now. We're 0-3. This is a John Fox coaching staff that was supposed to improve this team significantly in year two. And these were three games, manageable games, they were supposed to have against, like you said, three very inexperienced quarterbacks. You know what? They've looked like all pro quarterbacks against them at times. Carson Wentz was outstanding. Dak Prescott was even better. And look, I know they got a litany of injuries, but they weren't even competitive for most of this game. And Dak Prescott had five incompletions. Not a good night overall for the Bears whatsoever.
Yeah, they had two rookies, and Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott take over this game tonight. And the Bears rookies, okay, Kevin White was better, showed some flashes. But let's see, you have the stats right here in front of you. 14 targets, 6 catches. So it's nice he had the 6 catches for 62 yards, and he made a really nice catch that he managed to pull in that was not easy, but he also dropped another one that he was hard on himself after the game. But 6 catches on 14 targets, I didn't really realize he had 14 targets. That's they got to find a better connection there.
Well, Brian Hoyer threw one pass short of 50 passes. I mean, that's what happens when you're playing catch up. That's what happens when you're getting pummeled and your butt's beaten in the first half like the Bears were. I mean, this was just a tough game from the first snap when it was a botched play for Brian Hoyer. Look, I thought he'd be better. He was more effective than Jay Cutler was because he's just healthier at this point. But 49 passes thrown, you know, how many did he complete? 30 of them. I mean, not a bad percentage, but, I mean, you're playing catch-up for most of this game, and it was just an ugly thing, and the first half was atrocious. Tough night.
I don't know whether or not to look more at the coaching or the personnel at this standpoint, because I actually think the personnel's better than it was a year ago, and yet, like I said earlier, they may be regressing. But on the flip side, where was Leonard Floyd tonight? Didn't even notice him. They start Nick Kwiatkowski out there, who didn't even play in the preseason. They just throw him out there tonight, and he didn't really look ready for that. DeAndre Hall barely played tonight at all. Deion Bush got out there finally after being inactive. These are the three guys, those last three guys I mentioned, that they passed up Dak Prescott for in the fourth round. I think there's questions with both the coaching staff and the personnel at this point.
I have a line in my column in Monday Sun-Times. It's the Bears reek of being unprepared, which is kind of surprising to say considering, I mean, their coaching staff was so good last year with the lack of talent they had. I mean, Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive minds in the league, but this is a tougher, for whatever reason. Maybe that they're not talented enough. Maybe they're not smart enough, these players. But something's not clicking. The way they're being taught, the way they're being coached, it's clearly not working. I mean, you saw, again, two rookies tonight, Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott, go off. So rookies can do this. And I know youth and injuries are an excuse. They're legitimate excuses. But something is not clicking, whether it's coaching-wise, preparation-wise. I mean, they look out of sorts in a lot of different areas, whether it's defensively and offensively.
Well, and I think especially on the defensive side of the football, that's where they have more talent at this point. Vic Fangio really had nothing last year, and he managed to mold that into something that was respectable. Right now, let me give you some fair excuses. Eddie Goldman didn't play tonight. That was a big loss. They miss him up front. Danny Trevathan, you saw the drop-off right away. Once you see Christian Jones and Jonathan Anderson out there as much as they were again, you're getting back into last year's territory. And the offense isn't helping them at all. Why did the defense play better in the second half? I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the offense was actually able to sustain some drives. There was one point in the game where the Cowboys had 39 offensive plays, the Bears had 12. The Cowboys had 18 first downs, the Bears had 2. That's tough to play defense when you're on the field the whole game or the whole first half. So I think there's some valid excuses there. But still, you have Akeem Hicks, who you didn't have last year. You had Jarrell Freeman, who's really playing well out there. And yet, they were just getting gashed at times.
I mean, here's the thing. They could also force their own three and outs and turnovers, too, right? The defense, whatever excuses you want to give them. I think the Cowboys left tackle, he didn't play. A three-time Pro Bowler, Tyrone Smith. So, I mean,
and they lost their left guard in the middle of the game. They didn't have him in the second half.
So, obviously, the excuses work both ways. And you can actually maybe argue that the Cowboys, once they got the big lead, they kind of let up in their defense, let the Bears back into the game. Because that's only human nature, right? You get that much of a lead, you think it's insurmountable, and you let up a little bit. You play a little bit more relaxed in coverage. Everybody wants to get through this game healthy. And all of a sudden, the Bears are back in it. But, look, all these excuses, you know, whatever. I mean, the whole point to me is they're supposed to improve in some fashion under John Fox in year or two, and here they are, 0-3, and they still have Aaron Rodgers on the schedule twice, and they still have better quarterbacks than they've faced on the schedule. So I don't know if you could look at positives excuses as positives or whatever. There's 13 games left. But you can already start saying this is maybe a lost season already.
Well, do we want to hear from John Fox or Brian Hoyer at this point? Let's hear from Brian Hoyer. Let's at least get a chance to hear what Brian Hoyer had to say. I thought he was okay. I thought he was, you know, it could have been a lot worse there, and he especially was moving the ball in the second half. I think the Cowboys backed off a little bit. But let's hear what the quarterback who filled in for Jay Cutler tonight had to say.
Ryan, any way to put your finger on the struggle of generating any offense early on tonight?
No, I think, you know, we got to go back and watch the film. We just got to start executing plays better. You know, I think back to the first one, we had a penalty, which pushed us back. you know, a few other drives that stalled out. So we got to do a better job of, you know, trying to stay on the field longer, keep our defense, give them some rest on the sideline, and, you know, figure it out. You got to go watch the film. And I think the one thing that I'll say is to see the resilience in the room to come back out, you know, down 24-3 at halftime and just keep battling. It's good to see that we have that perseverance, even in tough times. I think you just got to take that and build on that. And like you said early on, figure out a way to move the ball a little bit better.
Is that your biggest takeaway or something else?
What's that?
Your biggest takeaway from tonight?
Yeah, I mean, there's no, you know, moral victories in this league. But I think for us, you know, we came in, we said, look, we got two choices. We can either tank it in and try to get out here as fast as we can, or we can go out and just, you know, play the best we can, one play at a time, don't look at the scoreboard. And I think, you know, we did that to an extent. And, you know, you can build on that. There's guys that are willing to go out there and play and put it on the line when things aren't going real well. I think that's something that you can definitely build on.
What was your anxiety level like, and what happened on that first play? It looked like there was a mix.
Yeah, it was kind of a run pass option. I probably should have gave it, but that's something that, you know, I definitely need to correct. You talk about, you know, early struggles. You know, you just hand it off and, you know, see what Jeremy can do. But it was a run pass option. That's on me. I should hand the ball off.
Jack keeps saying he's got the right guy to fill up, start turning things around. Who is speaking up right now? What's the message, the general message?
I want to keep that inside our locker room. I don't think there's any reason to talk about that in the press. But like I said, we have guys in there who are willing to put on the line when things aren't going well. You're sitting there in 0-3. You're down 0-2, down 24-3 at halftime. You see the true character of people, and if they're going to be willing to go back out there and play. And I think we have a lot of guys that, you know, show that they're willing to do that.
Third down was a problem area tonight. What's the key to becoming a more productive team on third down?
Just executing. I think that's really what it comes down to in this league, is just going out and executing. You know, we got good plays schemed up. We got good players. You just got to go out and do it.
Well, overall, by the second half, did you find a comfort level, you know, passing and all that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you just got to go out there and play one play at a time and not try to do too much. Obviously, try to get the ball down the field, get the ball moving a little bit. And we had some success, but, you know, obviously we need some more.
What did you get out of Zach tonight? Obviously, had a nice game for you.
Yeah, you know, on the touchdowns, they're trying to take away Alshon. They're doubling Alshon. So, you know, Zach becomes a very viable option, and he comes away with two touchdowns. So, you know, Zach's a big target, and he's an athletic guy. You know, so when they're trying to take the outside guys away, he becomes a real viable option inside.
He sums it up perfectly when he goes, there's no moral victories in this league, because it's so true. Yes, you could point to your perseverance, your toughness, your mental toughness for coming back in the second half and not giving up, but enough with those cliches. You were in that spot because you got trounced on in the first half, and that really was the game. You can't be put in those situations and expect to come back all the time. Yes, you like the fight. Yes, you like you didn't give up. But at the same time, you know, maybe the Cowboys, like we were saying, let up a bit. I mean, that of all the things he said, I know you don't want to list who's being the leaders in the locker room and all that stuff. You're looking for answers. It's just, I don't know if the Bears have any solutions to finding those answers right now, any ways to finding those answers at this point.
All right, let's get to our post-game designations here, and we'll start with...
Player of the game.
Who are you going with?
Oh, it's easy. You know, I'm going to give two, if I can.
Okay.
Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott were exceptional. I was really impressed with Prescott. I mean, he looked like Troy Aikman back there. Forget Tony Romo. Let's go back to the better quarterback. He looked like Troy Aikman back there, just poised. You know, he wasn't really feeling any pressure, and I know the Bears' defense kind of made it easy for him, but, I mean, his reads were fast. His throws were sharp. And then it helped to have a strong running game, and I thought Zeke Elliott, behind that very good Cowboys offensive line, well, he was due for a big game, and he broke out on this one. Boy, the Bears, we're not unlucky for not being able to draft him because he wasn't available, but, I mean, they would love to have a guy like this. Look at the running back situation. You're down to Jordan Howard now. Zeke Elliott looks like a true star. Finally had his first 100-yard rushing game. So the Cowboys rookies stood out to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go with Zeke Elliott. So between the two of us, you covered it. Look, I remember commenting after the draft that weekend that I loved what the Cowboys had done in the draft to get a guy like Elliott and fill that void at running back right away, despite, you know, they had added Darren McFadden, Alfred Morris, and they still go out and they grab him. I love that pick. And I didn't even mind that in the second round they went after Jalen Smith, who right now isn't playing but has, you know, a ton of upside if he can get healthy. And then you throw in Dak Prescott, which was a guy I liked coming into the draft at least later. I had a fourth-round grade on him. That's where they took him, late fourth. I thought it was great value at that spot. And so to see them tonight in just week three use those two guys to dominate the Bears, I think that's a tough pill to swallow right now. You know, I wonder – Ryan Pace, Josh Lucas, we see those guys in the press box. They're sitting behind us. I can just only wonder what's going through their head as they're watching this game tonight.
Look, I still think it's too early to say they should regret passing on a Dak Prescott.
You call him Troy Aikman!
I know, I get it. But it's still only three games. There's so many things that can happen. Look, Nick Kwiatkowski could turn out to be something good. DeAndre Hall, cornerbacks can really click in their second season. So let's see what those players become when they actually get a real chance to play and they get the chance to grow and develop a bit. But, yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott was outstanding. And I thought Carson Wentz was outstanding the week before. I mean,
Dak, well, he looked like Joe Montana today, since we're throwing out crazy comparisons.
Yes, I mean, Dak Prescott was better than Carson Wentz was last week. And, it's just – to lose to three quarterbacks that lack significant experience, it's really humbling for the Bears.
If I can give only one positive, well, here, let me give you two positives. First of all, I know we're getting a little off track here, but Zach Miller, talking to him in the locker room, mentioned the word embarrassed, talking about being you're playing two primetime games back-to-back, and you're coming in a lot. That, I think, was kind of the message at halftime. And said, hey, we can't quit here because we have embarrassed ourselves on national TV in 2 weeks. Now, I don't know how many people were still watching the game in the second half because, if I'm a Jaguars fan in Florida, I'm getting outside enjoying the weather or whatever instead of watching that garbage that we saw in the first half carry over to second. So at least they showed some fight in the second half. But like you said, no moral victories. Brian Hoyer said that himself. I also thought the offensive line did a much better job in pass protection.
Well, forget Jaguars fans. I mean, how about Chicago? I mean, people are turning off their TV sets in Park Ridge, Naperville, Glen Ellen.
Well, yeah, the Cubs will watch tonight. At least the Cubs were on TV.
It's bad. It's bad. All right, let's move on.
Biggest concern.
I think my biggest concern right now is the mindset of this team. I think that's fair right now. To go in and have this happen for the second straight year against inferior opponents. Last year when they were 0-3 and they're coming back from Seattle, it wasn't like anyone was shocked about that. You know, we all expected that. And look, none of us really expected them to beat the Cowboys today either. But the lack of competitiveness, I think, is the word over the last 3 weeks. That is what's concerning, because we said it time and time again, or at least I know I did. I didn't think this team would be an easy out for anyone this year. And yet, the last 2 weeks, they have been an easy out.
My biggest concern right now is the screaming going on in AT&T Stadium with the cleanup crew yelling back and forth in this monstrous stadium.
Well, we're literally, like, in the stands. We should point that out. And we'll tweet out a picture, too, of where exactly we're standing.
Yes. So when I mentioned earlier, we could see the cleanup crew picking up the garbage and stuff. That's what we're looking at. But to go off what you said about your concerns, I mean, my thing is the lack of preparation. It just so obvious. I mean, how does Christian Jones get assigned to cover Cole Beasley in the slot? That is just a mismatch to begin with. There are other
and even Leonard Floyd on Jason Witten at one point, which I know they like him in coverage, but come on.
Those it's an easy read for Dak Prescott. I mean, you're always going to go to your veteran Pro Bowl All-Pro tight end against a rookie outside linebacker who is supposed to be rushing you instead of dropping back and covering guys all the time. And I get that they love his versatility and things, and he could do some of those things. But Jason Witten's, I mean, that's a tough draw. And again, Cole Beasley, I mean, they had a tough time matching up against him in the slot. Christian Jones, that's a tough draw. So those examples stood out to me, and that goes back to preparation. Maybe it's Vic Fangio not having the right players he wants, and they are banged up. But something is not clicking from the coaching down to the players, and it's really showing on the field.
All right.
Biggest answer.
There's not a really a big obvious one. I will say I think that Brian Hoyer answered that he's a good enough backup. Man, I'm stretching, aren't I? But you know, I thought he looked good for a backup quarterback. It at least showed that we don't really know what's going on with Jay Cutler going forward. So that's at least one answer.
My biggest answer is even when Fox gets friendly and tries to explain things with his sayings and stuff, there really is no answer. He can't really put into words, if he wanted to, I think, what is going on with this football team right now. I think he's frustrated beyond belief. He's not showing it yet, but it's there. There are three 0-3 teams in the league. This is how bad it is for the Bears right now. They are now amongst the laughing stocks of the league. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chicago Bears. Those are the three worst teams in the NFL right now. That's embarrassing. You know, Virginia McCaskey should be pissed off again about what's going on with her Bears. This is an abysmal start to a season that was supposed to be just way better than this under John Fox in year two. There's no really other way to explain that.
Well, you mentioned John Fox, and I will give you a tease for Thursday. He gave us a great little saying for what does the Fox say. So we'll bring that to you on Thursday when we come back with our longer episode and kind of recap whatever the fallout this week is at Hal's Hall. It'll be interesting, and we'll also obviously preview week four. I do want to throw in one thing. If this, you know, this was bad enough, I lost my fantasy game tonight on Brian Hoyer's fumble at the end of the game because I was playing the Cowboys defense. And Dez Bryant's touchdown actually gave me a 1-point lead. And I was like, all right, just run out the clock. And so I'm thinking on that drive he's going to throw an interception or something and I'm going to lose. But then he just drops the ball on the ground and talk about a bad beat.
The big question is, at what point did you just give up on this real game and start just following along your fantasy stats and making sure you win your game?
Oh, absolutely. Come on. I was also worried about them scoring a touchdown there, and that you put this game right on the 7-point button. And if they had scored a touchdown there, it would have been exactly 7 points.
That is true.
And congrats on the backdoor cover, by the way, with the Detroit Lions today, your lock of the week. That was so lucky.
How about that? But that's, you know, there was a point where I thought the Bears were going to make it maybe a run and make a game out of this, but they didn't, you know, their mistakes showed through. I forget who had the long reception, you know, for the Cowboys. But, man, something good has to happen with this team. And not even just a win, just a competitive game where they need something to feel good about. Fans need to feel good about something because, look, it's been a long time coming. I mean, this is tough to watch.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us. It'll be an interesting week at Hallis Hall. We'll keep you updated. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. We'll be back on Thursday as we make our picks for week four. And I'll give you one little nugget as we turn the page to the Detroit Lions. Do you know the last time the Bears beat the Lions?
Oh, it's been some time, hasn't it? What time? When was it?
It was Lovie Smith's last game. In 2012, the Bears have not beaten the Detroit Lions, the one team in the NFC North they should be able to beat. They have not beaten them since 2012, Lovie Smith's final game as head coach. 6 straight losses to the Lions. It doesn't get any easier.
Hey, did we forget to mention this is the Dick Butkus episode?
I can't remember if I did, but you just did.
Well, they could have used him tonight.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you on Thursday.